Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 30th of January, Anno Domini 2010, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Rick Harrison.
And we will be bringing you news, views, stuff you can use, something to choose, and no Steve Ray. Rick is in sitting in for Steve Ray today. Steve Ray is actually out doing some, I don't know, one step ahead of the law somewhere in the Midwest.
Actually, he's working.
Oh, yeah, that's what he always says.
Yeah, that's his excuse.
No, dude, I'm working. Yeah, right. All right. All right, let's start with a news item. He didn't want to be here for this week. That's why. Here's a news item that will only...
Well, he missed out. I mean, I brought in the Donuts Delight donuts.
Yes, you did.
And, oops, his loss.
Yeah, too bad. All right, here's a news item that will, excuse me, only come as a surprise to you if you've been hiding under the face on Mars. Apple CEO Steve Jobs unveiled the company's latest product, the iPad tablet, in San Francisco on Wednesday. Yes, this week's news is not shockingly mostly about the iPad. Measuring just half an inch thick and weighing between 1.5 and 1.6 pounds, it features a 9.7-inch multi-touch high-resolution LED display and will come in Wi-Fi and Wi-Fi plus 3G versions. Its long-life battery will allow users to watch video for up to 10 consecutive hours. You can get it in sizes from 16 gig to 64 gig. You can get it with Wi-Fi or 3G. Essentially, it's Baby Huey's iPod. Jobs also introduced an application for the device called iBook, which will let users download and read ebooks. Apple has already secured distribution deals with five major publishers, including HarperCollins and Penguin, and will continue to add more, Jobs said. Users of the iPad will also be able to access iTunes and the App Store, just like the iPod and iPhone users. The tablet will hit the market in March with language support in English, French, German, Japanese, Dutch, Italian, Spanish, simplified Chinese, and Russian. Korean is not on the list yet, but Apple added support for the language on the iPhone when it launched in the Korean market. Approximately 16 billion people showed up at the Yerba Buena Center in San Francisco on Wednesday, and most of them were healed, walking out under their own power and praising Steve Jobs. Rumors that angels came and bore him away from the city are unsubstantiated, since the iPad has no camera and nobody could take a picture of it. So here's... okay, I'm just amusing myself.
No, that's okay. We're just
everybody else. That's what I'm here for. So here is this week's question of the week. At our website, soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. We do a poll every week, and this week's poll, not surprisingly, is about the iPod. Question is, do you lust for the iPod? The choices are, Steve Jobs says, I desperately need one. I'd like one. Meh. And no thanks. Now, I know you people. You people are not going to be satisfied with just a single check mark on a website. So you're going to want to have your say, and you can do that pretty easily. All you have to do is in the little yellow box underneath the poll, you will click on Give Us Your Opinion. It will take you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
And you can enter your opinion, just like four people have already done. And we'll see what that brings to us. We've got 55 people who've already responded to the poll. So give us a call. Seriously, what do you think of the iPad? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free, 1-800-790-0415. And Rick?
Yes?
What do you think of the iPad? Being the Apple guy.
Well, having not actually held it in my hands yet, it's a little difficult to make a judgment. I'm wondering, is my hand going to get tired? The thing does weigh a pound and a half. I'm kind of looking forward to playing with one when they come in over at the Apple Store. I will confess that. And I'm slightly lusting after it. I'm thinking, you know, this is like, it could be a giant iPhone.
Well, and no, it's a giant iPod Touch. It's not an iPhone. It doesn't have a camera. It doesn't have a phone.
Well, it does if you use the built-in microphone. Or if you add one.
Right.
And you can use Wi-Fi, and you can actually use
You can
it
use
like
Skype. Right, you can
That's
use
right.
Skype.
Like Skype.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you can also use, somebody's already making a camera attachment for it with an extra battery, so you can record video. So it's the aftermarket where you're going to actually get a usable product.
That's correct. Okay. And I also think that it really is kind of like a giant iPhone because you've got all those applications. I mean, Apple designed it specifically so that you could use all the iPhone apps that are already written out there. And now it's going to be on a big display, and when you play your games and you surf the internet and everything else, it's going to be a much better experience. Instead of trying to read that tiny print, on my little iPod Touch, I have to continually, you know, enlarge the text to as large as I possibly can, because in my old age here, I'm starting to get, you know, a little nearsighted.
Yeah, yeah. Welcome to that club. I don't know. It doesn't, I don't know. All right, look, I'm going to start with a little mini rant of my very own. And here we go. Look, I don't care that it doesn't have flash, because flash is an abomination on the face of the earth to begin with. I don't care that it doesn't have a camera. Apparently, Apple thinks Mac people are too ugly to take pictures of. I don't care that it doesn't do multitasking. Apparently, Apple figures that Mac people are not bright enough to do multitasking. I don't care about any of that. But let us talk about the fact that there's a tablet in my hands that has no handwriting recognition. This from the company who has always had the single best handwriting recognition on the face of the earth. I'm talking about the Newton. It had great handwriting recognition, certainly better than anybody else's. And that's what makes it the best on earth. It wasn't great, but it was better than anybody else's.
I think it's just a matter of time before you see that application.
You have
to realize they rushed this thing a little bit to market. They said, we've got all the iPhone apps out there to cover it. Third parties can do stuff. If, you know, that's a great app for a third party to write if they want. Or, you know, maybe Apple's waiting for the second generation, you know. I think in the second generation, you'll see that camera. I think you'll see the handwriting recognition. I think by that time, they'll have it together.
I think what we're really looking at, and I understand this, I do. I don't know that I like it, but I understand it. What we're really looking at here is a marketing differentiation problem. They've already got the iPad or the iTouch and the iPhone, right?
Yeah.
At the smaller form factor,
mm-hmm.
Then you get into the laptops and you've got the camera and faster processors and they're increasable and they've got all the USBs and the thises and thatses, external video and all the other things, and they're just bigger, better machines with keyboards, nice monitors, yada, yada, yada. So they've got to fit this thing in somewhere without entirely cannibalizing themselves. So this is where they fit it. How do they do that? Well, if you want a camera, you move up a step.
Yeah.
If you want it easier to hold, you move down a step. But if you want that thing in the middle, here it is. And I don't know that they're serving a real constituency. It's a marketing device, it's a solution in search of a problem, which you always get when marketing controls what you make.
I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens over the next few years. I mean, the computer has been evolving, and right now it kind of has a keyboard and it's got a display. And I think maybe the keyboard part of it is going to start to go away a little more. It'll always be an option that you can add, but...
Now you've given me iWork.
Yes.
You've given me a word processor.
Yes.
And no keyboard.
Well, there is. It's
unfortunately
it's an on-screen keyboard if you want to use
it. It's too big to thumb type.
Yes.
You're never going to hit the middle keys with the thumb, so you're going to have to hold in one hand and single-digit peck at it.
I think third parties...
Put it down on the table, and if you're writing on that, you're going to get carpal tunnel so quick, I don't know how you're going to live with that.
Well, I think it's meant for the traveler. I mean, that's why it's portable. That's what portability is all about.
What I want to see is who buys it now is going to be billions of people. I want to see who's still using it in 6 months, 9 months, a year. And I mean actually using it as opposed to, oh, yes, I use it every night. It sits next to my couch and I watch a movie on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I can't do that on my television anymore.
I'm thinking it's going to be for people who like to commute. It'll be for artists that like to go to exotic places, you know, and just have a little sketch pad that they can do something on.
Yeah, but for that price, I mean, I can go get a netbook. I can get a netbook right now for $200 and do, put my drawing programs in that on it. It'll do it.
Well, it depends how much you want to carry. The thing is only a pound and a half. And I think if you're traveling, you know, that's certainly a big advantage. You shove it in your backpack.
Like I said,
I'm not convinced, but we'll see.
Time will tell.
Yep. Yeah. All right, we're going to go to the phones. Our first caller is Vito. Where are you calling from, Vito?
Childlife.
Okie doke. What's your question?
Oh, great. I've got a hard drive that's really gone kind of corrupt. It's about 4 years. It's got Windows XP Home. And I built it using an upgrade CD from the previous operating system. What I need to know is, how do I use the upgrade CD to repair the hard drive I have?
When you say repair the hard drive, what is it, a corrupt install of actually Windows, or do you actually hear clicking going on in the hard drive, or what?
No, the thing is, it just won't. If I turn it on, mm-hmm. it'll boot up to the to the Windows page,
okay.
and then it'll just quit. Or if when I try to go someplace else and do a virus scan, the thing will quit. It's just really after so many years of uninstalling and installing programs that didn't work right,
mm-hmm.
It's gotten to the point where it doesn't work. So I'd just like to do a repair of it using the upgrade CD.
All right. What you can do is you can do an install Windows over Windows. And what you do is you put the CD in, and the first time it goes through, it's going to want to do an install. And you can just sit there and say, ignore that. You don't hit the repair at that point. You'll see a repair. You just hit enter. Then you'll hit the F8 key. After you apply the registration key, you know, the agreement to the F8, at that next screen, you're going to see down at the bottom a chance to either install or repair. If you select the repair at that point, what it will do is literally put Windows over Windows.
Okay, so I should choose the repair, not the install, the second time I see it.
Right. Correct.
Okay.
It'll be the best way to remember is after you've had to hit the F8 key to the agreement. After that, the next screen you'll see down at the bottom in the center is a repair feature. R for repair. You just select that. It says, okay, I go out and look for my previous installed version of Windows. It grabs, looks there, finds it. You just select it, and it'll put Windows over Windows.
So do I have my CD in the CD player at this time?
Oh, you have to have it to even boot to get to that menu. Yep.
And I have three partitions. One has the OS on it. The other two are for data. Mm-hmm. Is it going to respect the fact that there's three partitions?
Well, what it's going to do is it's only going to do... All it's doing is looking for the Windows files and replacing them over itself again.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, be honest with you. You know, if you're at this point, do you have your data backed up, of course?
Yes.
You know, you might want to just do a fresh install. If you've done so much, you know, removing, taking off, putting on, and some programs worked, didn't work, you just might want to start all over fresh.
And how old is this hard drive?
Oh, it's about 4 years old.
Yeah. The average life of a hard drive is 5 years. So really at this point, of course, now the other thing is you're still using Windows XP. At some point, possibly in the near future, you may find that Microsoft is going to stop supporting XP even more than they already have. And you're going to have to move to something like 7 or 8 or whatever's next. So you may want to take a look at the possibility of either buying a new hard drive now or starting to save up your pennies in another 6 months, a year, whatever, when that drive finally really dies, actually buying a new machine.
I'm actually curious to know how far I can go with the repair, but I do want to say one thing is I've used Revo Uninstaller.
Yeah.
And I did the full way. It gets you down into the registration and it says, to the inside guts of the thing, and it says... be sure you want to know which one of these in the registry you want to remove. And I don't know, and I select them, And I think some of that had to do with screwing up the windows. Because
it's possible. One of the things that I've always had against Revo Installer, and not against the product itself or the use of it, because it is a terrific product, but one of the things that I've always had against it is the fact that, well, doggone it, it's not for beginners. It just isn't.
Mm-mm.
You know, it's really designed for professionals like Dave who know what they're doing.
I agree.
When
I
it comes
I went
in,
too far in the last one.
It's very, very possible. You know,
I put in Firefox 3.6,
yeah.
And that was quitting on me like crazy. I don't know if other people are having that problem, so I took it out, and all the problems started coming in. And
I don't use Firefox so much anymore. I have found Chrome to be super fast, super easy to use. I'm very impressed with it.
Which one is it?
Google Chrome.
Oh, Google Chrome.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the very few add-ons that I really need, Ad Blocker under Firefox is called Ad Thwart under Chrome. And there's a neat thing called Web of Trust, which I really like, and a couple of others that are easy to add in and don't slow the thing down at all. So far, I've been very happy with Chrome.
Okay.
So
far. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Appreciate your program.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's an interesting problem. How far do you go with Chrome? Excuse me, Chrome with Windows XP, because it is nearing end of life and. It's Lazarus. It's been resurrected from the dead a half a dozen times already. So, you know, and where do you start saving up your money for a machine that'll run Vista? Listen, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Rick Harrison, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you. You are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll-free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Supporting Jazz 90.1 is as simple as 1, 2, 3. 1. Decide how much listening to Jazz 90.1 is worth to you, considering the great jazz music, live DJs, live jazz information, local traffic and weather. 2. Call 966-5299 or visit jazz901.org and make a pledge. 3. Sit back and enjoy the good feeling you get from keeping jazz on the radio. Alive and well in Rochester on Jazz 90.1.
Celebrating 20 years on air, Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 is supported by our members and Exodus to Jazz Productions. Presenting Monk the Play, Friday and Saturday, January 29th and 30th, 8 p.m. at the Downtown Radisson Hotel. Tickets are available at all Wegmans service centers. For more information, you may visit exodustojazz.com.
Computer questions and issues? Get better answers from the experts on Soundbites. Every Saturday at noon on Jazz 90.1, Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray talk PCs, Macs, and more and answer your questions. It's America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Tune in Saturdays from noon to 2 for Soundbites on Jazz 90.1 and jazz901.org.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and the Incredibly Edible Cookie Company. The Incredibly Edible Cookie Company, located in Rochester, New York, is an artisan bakery that uses fresh ingredients in all their products. They feature chocolate coconut blizzards, ooey gooey quads, 3 varieties of hot chocolate, decadent chocolate enrobed brownies, and a chocolate bark that may be customized to your taste. Tea time confections, brownies, handmade chocolates, and favors are available for any special event. For more information, you may visit www.iecc-cookie.com.
Hello, this is Joelle Van Buren. Join me weekday mornings from 6 till 10 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Rick Harrison.
Wow, I'm suddenly not hearing anybody in my headphones. That's interesting. That's probably not you. That's probably me. I'll just keep talking and hope I can hear our caller. Our next caller is possibly Harold. Harold? Yeah, I'm not hearing anything.
No, I'm not.
Hold on.
I don't know. Harold?
Hello?
Harold.
That's not Harold. This is Bruce.
Oh, Bruce.
Bruce, where are you calling from?
Actually, my grandmother's house, but I'm living in Williamson.
Okay.
I had a kind of question about repairs. Sure. I had some work done on my computer, and my concern when I got home is that there was some problems inside the computer. I had to open it up, the box, and the zip tie was a loose zip tie in there that was flopping around. Something to hold the hard drive in was flopping around. And then when I called back the repair shop, and it's a reputable company, I'm not going to say who, but
good.
I had more problems afterward. They had to call back again. They put things on the computer that weren't on there before. They took it off. I'm just kind of curious as far as regulation in the industry, because when I used I had my repair done on a computer in the past with Enright PC, and I never had a problem, but I'm just curious. What kind of...
Well, then perhaps you should be taking it back to Enright PC.
That's what I said after I had. I'm not a patient man normally, but I was very patient with this particular company and this person, and I'm not real happy because they took a program off that I paid for, which really irritated me.
Oh, man.
Yeah, well, the best part was that he told me, well, you can go download it again, and that didn't sit well with me.
Yeah, I would suggest you not go back to them. There, you can report them to the Better Business Bureau, certainly, and I urge you to do so.
And that was my other kind of question, specific. Like, if they remove a program and they tell me that after the fact, because I had to call them and ask them where it went, can they do that legally? I mean,
not if you paid for it. It's yours.
Now, wait. I will, in this one case.
I should preface this with the fact that after he admitted this, he told me the reason he took it off the tech was because it was causing a Windows instability program.
Oh, that's different.
Yeah, I mean, yes, because here's the thing. Yes, there's a number of Trojans and all that, and not to totally defend this gentleman, but, you know, again, I don't know the whole situation, so I won't go there. But I have seen in my own shop where, you know, we go ahead and we've had to literally uninstall maybe a paid program only from the standpoint that it had also gotten attacked. Because, okay. See, a lot of these Trojans and all that will literally cause, like, McAfee, Norton, and these other programs. It's their job to totally block them, knock them out of commission, change files and everything else. It literally destroys a program. So the only proper way to get the program working correctly again, even though you paid for it, is to uninstall it and reinstall it. Well, but usually, as far as my shop goes, we usually call the client and let them know what's going on.
Yeah. Well, the best part is that's not why I took it in. And the second thing was, it was an antivirus software program he said I didn't need. He said you should never pay for antivirus software. I said, but I'm the consumer. It's my choice.
That's
I decide to pay for it because I know there's free programs.
Can I ask you a question? All right, I'm sorry. Can I ask you a question without, again, asking this person's individual name or, you know, the company's name?
Yeah, but don't give us those things.
No.
Don't.
But were they promoting, instead of doing antivirus and all that, backing up to a hard drive?
No, I already
creating
have
an image.
I have a second hard drive.
There's one individual out there. His answer, instead of doing backup or, you know, running antivirus and all that, he uses Ghost just to create an image.
So he's backing up all the viruses that are already on the drive.
Well, once he gets it cleaned up, he says, no, you don't need that stuff. Once we get it cleaned, you just create an image. And you just, if you get infected, all you do is restore the image. And my thinking was, well, wait a minute. What happens to all your emails that you've gotten there? Or if you've done any updates to the program, if you don't do that image.
It's not well thought through. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
All right. Now, Bruce, let me ask you one more thing. I thought I heard you say somewhere in there.
Yeah.
That he had secured one of your hard drives with zip ties?
No, what happened was when I set the computer down, I brought it back home, I set it down, there was a zip tie that had been cut that was inside of the thing flopping around it.
Okay.
He didn't remove it. There was a little clip I had to call him about that he tells me when I tell him there's this clip in here, oh, that holds the hard drive from sliding. I said, well, the screw's missing. And I got silence.
Oops.
I knew I made a mistake in not bringing it to Enright. See? I apologize.
There
next
you go.
A little better, because last time you guys took care of me good.
There you go. Hey. Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks a lot for your help, you guys.
Thank you.
Joe.
See? Go to the reputable dealers. That's what we learn.
Yes.
And there are a number. I'm not saying there's, you know, we always, you know, obviously Dave and Steve are on the show, but there are other reputable dealers in town as well. And I'm just make sure you go to a decent one.
I'm just glad that he was pleased with me. But like you say, yes, there's quite a few other shops around. But you got to check it out. You know, I mean, talk to your friends and all that. You know, you might find a shop even closer to where you are. So, yeah, but and if you're unhappy, you know, go back to them. I mean, that's ridiculous to put up with shoddy stuff like that. And that, unfortunately, that gives all of us a bad name.
Right.
You know, because, you know, it's without him even mentioning a name, it literally gives all the other reputable places around Rochester a bad, you know, well, is this guy going to mess over with me or, you know, take advantage of me or this and that, you know. Bad word of mouth spreads, you know, a lot faster than the compliments,
right.
Unfortunately.
Now, you take a place like Mac Care Repair, they've been around for 10 years. You take a place like Dave, you've been around since, what, Hector was a pup at
mm-hmm.
least. Yeah. And that's helpful. It's, you know, the longer they've been around, the probability is that they're more reputable. Anyway, let's go back to the phones. Our next caller is Tom. Where are you calling from, Tom?
Hi. Good afternoon. I'm calling from Fairport.
And what can we do to make you a happier man?
Well, I want to continue the conversation from last week on programs that update and don't remove their prior update or program and leave it on your hard drive. I have a IBM ThinkPad, that, you know, old one, you know, and I got to optimize my space on it, make the performance up there. So I use Office, Open Office, quite a bit.
Sure.
And that's very Java-based, I believe.
Well, and it uses Java for certain pieces and parts, yes.
Well,
it's from Sun, so naturally it would.
I'm looking at Rebo and on installer, and I have all these prior updates for Java, Java 6, update 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, and mm-hmm. they're all like 130 megabytes, you know. And I'm thinking of removing them. I don't want to remove Java. I should probably download the current Java and have that or to reinstall that. But should I remove all these old Javas and that'll be okay?
Well, if you are going to download the full version of the latest Java runtime environment, JRE, then yes, you can uninstall all the updates and everything else because 1.6 will contain all of those.
And 10-to-1 odds that even though it says it's that certain file, it's writing over within the same directory. So 10-to-1 odds, if you say multiply all six of those, you know, they're not all there, not all six. There might be remnants of this or that from a DLL.
Yes, but let me suggest that you if you're going to install all of that, make sure you've downloaded the full JRE 1.6. I don't remember what the number is. And make sure that you have the full one ready to reinstall. Then you don't need any of the updates anymore.
Okay, I just want to make sure I didn't trip over my own feet.
Right.
Well, thank you very much.
Sure. That's, you know, that is less necessary now that hard drives are in the terabyte range, but I guess you want to
terabyte
keep it
and
tidy.
A half.
That makes sense, yeah.
I mean, that, you know, it's not unheard of.
That makes sense.
But that Revo, you know, like you say, if you use it, it helps keep the machines clean. I mean,
yeah, but you got to know what you're doing. It's not for everybody. It really isn't.
Well, I agree.
Yeah,
I'm gonna agree.
Apple's iPad was barely a day old, and it was already facing legal troubles. Not terribly surprising, as iPad is hardly an original name, and Apple has a history of stealing names that are registered trademarks of other companies. Japanese electronics company Fujitsu built a handheld computing device in 2002, complete with Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and VoIP support, called the iPad. The Fujitsu iPad features a 3.5-inch color touchscreen and an Intel chip. The Fujitsu iPad, which has a considerably higher price point at its time of release, $2,000, to Apple's entry-level price of $499 or high-end price of $850, is most commonly used by shop clerks in retail stores for keeping track of inventory and recording sales. According to the New York Times, Fujitsu wanted the iPad name back in 2003 and still wants it today. Wanted the iPad name back in 2003 and still wants it today. Nice reading. Yes, I used to be a professional actor. The company first applied to trademark the name iPad in 2003, although the application ran into problems because another company, MagTech, was already using the name for a handheld number encrypting device. That's right, there's more than one iPad floating around out there. In early 2009, Fujitsu's trademark application was declared abandoned by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, but the company reopened its application in June. Since the reinstatement of the Fujitsu application, Apple has been trying to take it away via proxy. In fact, they filed three petitions to extend the deadline. Apple now has until February 28th to oppose Fujitsu's claims. And it looks like the gauntlet's been thrown. According to the Wall Street Journal, Fujitsu is consulting lawyers over the next step, as it is the company's understanding that the name is Fujitsu's. While Apple and Fujitsu battle it out, there are other products using the semi-trademark name iPad, including a padded bra by Canadian lingerie company Coconut Grove Intimates, motors and engines by German technology company Siemens, and a tablet computer by ST Microelectronics. So, we ask you the age-old question, what's in a name? And what do you think of the name iPad? Give us a call. The number is 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Outside the 585 area code, toll free, 1-800-790-0415. Give us a call and tell us what you think of the name. We've all seen the ruder things going around. And, of course, everybody insists on repeating them and repeating them, mm-hmm. as if they were new.
I've got so many darn emails with attachments. Oh, you got to go check this site out. It's really a cool joke on the iPad. And it's like, for the umpteenth time, no, thank you. Delete.
Yeah, right. Right. So, it's going to be interesting. It's, it's like I said before. People are going to buy it because... Some people are going to buy it just because Steve Jobs said they should buy it. There is that contingent. You know there is. Yes. Other people are going to buy it because it's just so freaking nifty. I mean, it really is nifty. But I don't know, for the vast majority of the owners, what problem does it solve? See, to me, these things are a tool.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't solve a problem, I don't need it.
I think history will tell us. I mean, I'm probably going to put off buying mine for a little bit yet here, but probably 6 months from now, it wouldn't surprise me if I had one.
I may end up with one, but it'll only happen if I actually have a problem I need to solve or I win the lottery, at which point it won't matter. I'll have so many. All it takes is a dollar and a dream. I'm going to sue New York State, by the way. I've got my dollar. I've got my dream. Where the heck's my money?
Yeah. Well, you also have to remember that Apple is now a $50 billion company.
Yes.
So with that kind of capital behind them, everybody's going to be out to sue them.
Nick,
right?
Well, yes.
You said you had your dollar, and your ticket, but you know what? You got to buy a ticket each week.
What?
Yeah. I hate to tell you, that ticket that you're holding that was 6 months old isn't good for this week.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Hold on. Whoa.
Mm-hmm. Whoa. Hey, I hate to bring it to you.
Listen, I believe I've got a verbal commitment from New York State. I got a dollar. I got a dream. Where's my money? All it takes is a dollar and a dream. It doesn't say it takes a dollar a week and a dream. It doesn't say you got to buy a ticket for a dollar a week and have a dream. It doesn't even say you can buy a dollar ticket a week and not have a dream.
They'll tell you it's, the check you is in the mail.
Right. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to say about that now. That's annoying. That's just annoying.
Well, you would have to get permission to sue New York State for false advertising.
From whom?
Probably from New York State.
How do you get in that racket? That's good. That's a good racket right there.
Yeah.
I want to sue you. Wait. You have to get permission. From whom? Me. Whistle for it. Yeah, that'll happen.
Hey, good. Sometimes reality can be better than fiction.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know,
and of course, the other thing right now with the iPad, we're still in the honeymoon phase. Mm-hmm. There isn't even an iPad to look at. You know, there nobody's got one. So you can't look at it and say, well, here's the cool thing it does that we didn't know, or here's the shortcoming that we didn't know about. We don't know anything. It's all pie in the sky by and by till you die. So we don't know anything.
Yeah, we're not going to know for 2 months when Apple finally has it in the Apple Store.
Right, right. I have a guy last night was on me about this. I said, he said it's going to be, it's great. He said it's, he didn't say it's going to be great. He said it's great. It's a terrific product. I said, how do you know? He said, what? I said, how do you know? Have you held one? Look, he said, well, because I saw the presentation. I said, I could point you to any one of a dozen Microsoft presentations, Sun presentations, IBM presentations, where the thing they created was the greatest thing since laser sliced bread.
And then didn't work out.
And it didn't work out. So, you know, this was sandcastles. And it's a beautiful sandcastle. Nobody builds better sandcastles than Steve Jobs. And in the past, he has created great products. There's no question of that. But I want to see this and see it for myself and know whether or not it's actually going to do something for me before I decide I've got to. I mean, we got people saying, got to have one, got to have one, got to have one.
Uh-huh.
Well, I suppose if you're the computer museum, you got to have one.
There are people out there, one of which is my friend, who likes to be on the cutting edge of technology, and any new thing that comes out, he's got to have it.
And any new thing or any new Mac thing?
Mac thing.
There you go. That's different.
Yes.
He's a fanboy, B-O-I.
Yes.
Yes.
But, yeah, the latest and greatest thing comes along, he's got to have it instantly, and he'll go out and he'll buy it, and money doesn't seem to be an object.
No, yeah, well, God bless him. Is he adopting? Because I'm ready. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Rick Harrison, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Hi, this is Greg Lefebvre. Join me every Sunday night at 7 o'clock for Doc's Juke Joint on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Join us on Sundays 5 to 7 on Jazz 90.1 for Big Road Blues, an exploration of vintage blues spanning the 1920s through the 1970s. Tune in to Big Road Blues with host Jeff Harris as he digs deep into blues history, spotlighting blues legends and forgotten blues heroes. Along the way, he'll fill you in on the stories and history behind the music. That's Big Road Blues every Sunday, 5 to 7 on Jazz 90.1 with your host, Jeff Harris.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, celebrating 20 years.
When I was a kid, when I was listening to the radio all the time, it was like a portal to the world for me. You know, I grew up in a small town in Georgia, and, you know, it's like a connection to the outside world. You know, it was a special thing.
New artist Tim Brantley loves radio because it connects every day. Radio, always on, always free, always something new. Go to RadioHeardHere.com.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and the Incredibly Edible Cookie Company. The Incredibly Edible Cookie Company, located in Rochester, New York, is an artisan bakery that uses fresh ingredients in all their products. They feature chocolate coconut blizzards, ooey gooey quads, three varieties of hot chocolate, decadent chocolate enrobed brownies, and a chocolate bark that may be customized to your taste. Tea time confections, brownies, handmade chocolates, and favors are available for any special event. For more information, you may visit www.iecc-cookie.com.
Hi, this is Charles Benoit. Join me and the entire Smart Set tonight from 5 to 6 right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Rick Harrison.
And at 42 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. I was in the Soundbites IRC chat, and one of the folks reminded me that, in fact, the way they were doing a play on words on iPad, it reminded me that I had an iPad many... Oh, there we go. Now I can hear myself. Wow, now I can really hear myself.
You want me to turn it down?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Okay.
I had an iPad that I wore for about a year. I had a problem with my left eye, and I wore a pad. I had an iPad.
I did that one time. I had,
under my glasses. It was a big, white, puffy iPad, and I changed it every night.
I had one where I had actually scratched my eye when I was working at Kodak, and then somebody got me one of those little stick-on eyeballs
with
a little dot in the middle.
Yeah, nice.
And I taped it into the center of it. I walk around like that. They go, "What the heck are you doing?" I can see better now.
That's funny, Dave.
You want to get that that binocular vision back again, right?
Yeah. Well, we did that one time when we were on Roby. Lori and I had these sunflowers. And, I mean, this one, it grew up really huge. So she went out and got these velvet dots.
Oh, yeah.
That you put on the bottom of coasters and all that, so they don't scratch. And we put a face on the sunflower. We had more folks stopping. I thought I was going to cause an accident.
Yeah, right.
Because she put the dots on there, and it was this big smiley folks, number of folks that saw it. They were laughing their butt off. We had a couple folks literally pulling the driveway. Go, you know, I got to tell you, that was pretty clever.
Yeah. All right, now that Apple has officially unveiled the iPad, we can move beyond hype and speculation about what the Apple tablet might be and move on to talking about what's important, the radio that's in it. Or not in it, if you prefer. Not that Apple hasn't done quite well with AT&T as the lone provider of iPhones. Apple had established the iPhone as the dominant smartphone in the United States and around the world. Revenue from iPhone sales is part of what has driven Apple to record profits and Apple stock to record highs. Still, analysts have predicted that Apple could double the success of the iPhone by ending exclusivity. Apple's tacit support of AT&T may be more of a commentary on the underlying technology than on the provider itself, though. The iPhone is destined to work with GSM cellular, is designed to work with GSM. Man, I really, really, really need to be home in bed. With GSM cellular networks, as is the iPad. If Apple is interested in expanding iPhone distribution, it needs to add CDMA functionality, design a separate CDMA-compatible version, or resign itself to doing business with only AT&T and T-Mobile. Regardless of Apple's reasons for doubling down on AT&T, it's hard to imagine how AT&T will handle any additional influx in data demand on its already faltering network. AT&T's issues with data speeds and 3G availability and the finger pointing as to whether AT&T or the iPhone itself is to blame have been a point of contention for months. Then there is the matter of coverage. As Verizon's There's a Map for That marketing campaign has made painfully obvious, AT&T actually doesn't even provide 3G network coverage in the vast majority of the United States. It does provide edge connectivity so users can access data from virtually anywhere. However, edge is not as fast as 3G, and AT&T's competitors are already looking beyond 3G to 4G network speeds. Assuming the iPad is even marginally successful, the additional strain in the AT&T 3G network could cripple it completely. iPhone users have higher than average data rate demands, but the device is still, first and foremost, a phone. With the iPad, the primary function will be web surfing and data consumption. Lots of it. While nobody predicted the spike in data demand AT&T had experienced from iPhone users, and why not, analysts have blamed AT&T for not investing sufficiently to expand and improve network capability and capacity to keep up with growing subscriber base with higher demand data demands. Estimates say that AT&T needs to invest between $5 billion and $7 billion, that's billion with a B, dollars to improve its infrastructure to meet its customers' needs. So our question to you, are you happy or dismayed that Apple continues to hitch its star to AT&T? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or toll free, 1-800-790-0415. I will say this. During the launch at Buena Yerba Center in San Francisco, a lot of people lost connectivity on their iPhone.
Doesn't surprise me.
And I was very amused. I had a friend tweeting me the entire time from his Droid. Going, I'm still connected. I've got connectivity. And I kept saying, you know, that's not fair. You're just like the only guy within 600 miles who's on a Droid because everybody else, both in and crowded around the Buena Yerba Center, has an iPhone.
Wait a minute. Now, you know, you see those ads right now, and, you know, AT&T slamming the heck out of Verizon for this. But where do they get off, though, saying, you know, oh, you know, all this great coverage? You know, it's not true. You can't. Yeah, AT&T coverage. I know a number of folks that have AT&T phones, and they'd love, even the iPhone, they'd love to throw it out the window because he can be in his office, have great coverage. Turn around, just go to another side of the building, nothing. Or just turn around and walk out of the house, nothing.
Well, often I will be in my elevator at work on the way down, and I'm talking on my cell phone, and somebody else is talking on their cell phone. They lose the signal on an AT&T phone, iPhone or not, yep. Right? It's an AT&T problem, not an iPhone problem. They lose their signal, and I've still got three bars.
Yep, yep.
You know, and in Rochester, that's not as fair a comparison, I think, because you know, when Frontier got out of the cell phone business, they sold all their towers to Verizon. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. Verizon, you know, immediately like tripled the number of towers they had in town. So that, maybe it's not an entirely fair thing, but I've heard it's true elsewhere as well. And so, so I don't know. It just it seems to me that AT&T is
The way they tout though that, you know, they're just so much better in there. The coverage really stinks, and I've talked to folks, and it's just not here in Rochester. I've got a number of friends, a couple of my friends down, Tay and them, down in South Carolina and that, and they're saying the same exact thing. They can go in certain areas, and they can't get squat. Meanwhile, their friend sitting next to them that's on Verizon, oh, no problem here.
Well, yep. And I have to say this. We've been talking about this. I work at RITM in the Saunders College of Business. And in between classes, everybody's on their cell phone, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And you see a whole group of people migrate toward one of the windows, and they're all on AT&T phones. And the Verizon people are just wandering all over the building without a problem. And we were walking out one day to go to lunch, and there was somebody walking around outside with a phone, obviously trying to get a good signal, and going, when they dropped the signal or couldn't look at it, and I yelled over, iPhone? She went, yeah. And again, it's not the iPhone. It's AT&T. Yeah. I understand. I'm not saying it's the iPhone in there. But it's a problem, and it's a problem everywhere. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Don. Where are you calling from, Don?
Calling from West Henrietta, New York.
Ah, the lovely West Henrietta. And you're clearly on a landline.
Exactly.
See? What can we do for you?
Well, I've got a question about Thunderbird.
Sure.
My question is, if I start to mark my emails as junk and I get the little flame goes up, when does this program start to throw these away on its own?
It doesn't. It only marks them as junk.
You've got to go in and tell it how often to empty out the junk folder. You can have it. So the minute you close out of the email program, you can set it under junk control to empty the trash.
And
empty that all out. Matter of fact, I change it. Instead of having the junk go to the junk folder, I change that and have it go right to the trash. And I have mine set up that the minute I exit out of my email program, it empties the trash.
Oh, I see.
So you just got to go in there.
One of those rules that...
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you want to be careful. One of the reasons that the rule right now is just leave it there is because you need to check it and train it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because I get a lot of false positives on junk. You know, things that it thinks are junk that are not. And so I have to carefully train it to say this is not junk, not junk, not junk. And it gets better, but then something new pops up. So I don't have it delete anything for me. I do it by hand so that I know.
Well, you can also set it up to automatically dump it, say, after any a number of days, whether it's one day or 20 days,
right?
You can set in there how often you want it to clear out the trash.
Okay, so that gives me the option of going in once a week and then looking through it to make sure nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Mistake. You got it.
Okay, great. I got one more question.
Sure.
What's the recipe for rum balls?
That's a family
if
secret.
If he told you, he'd have to kill you or marry you, and it's too late. And then his wife would kill you.
Because I hear so much about him.
Well, you know, that's what we might have to do next year. That's another good idea. Laurel Ann is always looking for ideas for us to do something. We're just going to have maybe a party.
The rum ball party.
The rum ball party.
Works for me.
And
why wait till Christmas?
Well, if you give me a recipe for rum balls, I'll give you my recipe for Christmas cake, fruit cake.
Fruitcake? No. No. That's evil. No, there's enough fruitcake in the world.
That's not
there's
a fair
a lot of
trade.
Oh, that's all right then. Yeah, the more rum, the better, I guess. Well, just mail me a bottle of rum and I'll pretend it's fruitcake.
No problem.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Don.
That's the third time now somebody's asked me about the rum balls. You know, just might have to do a rum ball party.
I don't see why.
I mean,
not.
You know, granted, they'll have to be limited. You got to show proof of age and maybe one or two max, because I don't want to be responsible.
That's right. No driving home.
Designated drivers the
That's
whole nine
exactly
years.
Exactly right. Whenever we go, for example, to the Renaissance Festival, where you know you have to show proof of age to get your hand stamped so you can drink.
Yep.
I always just take off my hat and show my bald head. Nobody has ever
questioned it.
So I'm I don't know how legal that is, but it certainly works. That certainly works for me. All right, I think we'll just go back to the phones. What do you think? Our next caller
works for me.
Works for you. Works for me. Our next caller is Cindy. Where are you calling from, Cindy?
Queensbury,
where?
Queensbury, New York, south of Lake George.
Yes, you are.
Oh, yeah.
We talked to you last week. Yes. What can we do?
I'm so glad I found you guys again.
Well, thank you. And now your job is what? Spread the word.
Yes.
Spread the word. You need to buy the Soundbites hat, the Soundbites T-shirt, the Soundbites bumper stickers.
And hopefully super soon, the window clings.
The window clings. We're going to get all those out to everybody.
Okay. I didn't see a bumper sticker I didn't bought.
No, we don't have a bumper sticker yet. It's going to be a window,
cling.
Yeah.
Yes, you got a window thing. Okay, last week you told me how to create an auto playlist.
Right.
For recently added in Windows Media Player.
Right.
But... Well, it's not working for me because it's a playlist, not a library. And now it's disappeared. It used to be in my list of playlists. And now it's not in my, you know, if you click on playlists, you can see them all.
Right.
But you've got like five of them that show up all the time.
Well, you have to scroll down that list. I don't know that it's...
Well, in the beginning, it showed up. In my left hand column, you know, if I open up playlists by clicking that little arrow, mm-hmm. So it's down into the right instead of just straight.
Right.
Right. You know, and then I get five of them, and it used to be in that, but now it's not. And
well, there
and really, a playlist isn't working for me. It used to be part of my library. And I want it part of my library. So I guess I have to give up on 12 and go back to the earlier version.
Right. The way 12 was designed to work is everybody, theoretically at least, is getting away from the idea of folders and libraries and things and just working out of playlists.
Yeah.
Because that way you can have the same song in multiple playlists but only have one copy of them on your hard drive. And so you could have, you know, your party mix and your easy, you know, sitting around at home mix and your driving mix. And you could have the same song in all three of them with just one copy without having to move things back and forth.
See, I don't use Windows Media Player for music. I use it for radio shows that I podcast.
Right.
And so I don't use it the way everybody else does.
How right. about using iTunes? iTunes works on Windows machines.
Yeah, I was going to ask a second question about, my first question was finish this. If I go back to an earlier version of Windows Media Player, will I lose the stuff I've got in this version? Should I put it on a flash drive, a thumb drive or something, so that I can download it onto the new version?
I would certainly back up my music anyway.
Never hurts to be safe.
Right.
That's correct.
Because right. I've never gone back a version.
Right.
It's
forward thinking, guys.
Yeah, right. Well, I use that anyway. I actually use Rhythmbox, but that's a whole other story. Go ahead.
I see that you guys have I can get you guys through iTunes, but
yes.
I use Juice for my other 20 podcast feeds.
Sure.
Is there something that I can put into Juice to get yours, or do I have to go through iTunes? Because I see an RSS feed seems different. That's not something that can go into Juice.
No, you can do an RSS feed, and we have one on our website.
Right, but it doesn't look like my other Juice thing, so I didn't think it would work in Juice.
It should.
It should?
Yeah.
It's a lot more convenient if everything is in the same place.
No, I absolutely understand
having
that.
Having to remember to go to iTunes once a week.
Right, but if you go to soundbites.org and click on the links tab.
I'm there.
The second thing down is, hey, podcasters, here's your feed.
Right, but that's an RSS feed, and it doesn't look at all like what the last time I tried something that looked like this, it didn't work in podcasting. It didn't work in my Juice podcaster.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know.
Okay. I'll try it then. I didn't try it because it didn't look like it would work, but I'll try it.
It supports most RSS protocols, so it really should work. Give it a try. Let us know.
Okay.
Thanks
a lot, guys.
All right, we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Rick Harrison, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you on the longest-running computer show in the known universe, and you know that soundbites. And we will be back right here with more iPad news on member-supported Jazz 90.1. So stay tuned.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Helping you with your computer questions for over 20 years. Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece, Rochester. A public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
You feel like some live jazz tonight? Then listen for the Club Calendar Highlights with Joel Van Buren every day at 9:40 a.m., 2:40, 5:40, and 7:40 p.m. Joel gives you a sample of who's playing jazz and blues that night and where. For a more complete listing of jazz playing in our area, check out the Club Calendar online at jazz901.org. You'll always know where the jazz is with Jazz 90.1.
I have a dream today.
Hi, I'm Isaac Newton Ferris, Jr., President and CEO of the King Center in Atlanta. My Uncle Martin's words still inspire us today, but his vision cannot be fully realized unless we join together to strengthen our communities through everyday acts of service to others. Honor his memory this King Day and throughout the year by volunteering in your community. Make it a day on, not a day off. Go to mlkday.gov and get involved.
Hi, this is Charles Benoit, host of The Smart Set, here with a special warning going out to all you Jazz 90.1 members. Stop smiling like that. Yeah, you love being a member of Jazz 90.1, but you're going to pull a muscle or something. I know the membership card is definitely worth smiling about, what with all those cool discounts at area shops, but frankly, all that smiling is making those non-members jealous. So until everyone's a member of Jazz 90.1, just try to control yourself. And keep smiling, safely.
Every day we make sure we get things done to keep ourselves on track, to live the way we want to live. And every day we make choices, large and small, that reflect who we are, from the clothes we buy to the car we drive to where we choose to live. If you enjoy Jazz 90.1, make the choice to become a member. And once a year, renew that membership. See how it feels. It just might be one more small but important choice you make to live the way you want to with Jazz 90.1.
The next time you rearrange that messy closet, why not set aside time to put your financial house in order as well? There are steps that can save you money and prevent hassles in the future. Make sure your credit report is accurate. Clean up bad credit by paying bills on time and paying down balances. And dispose of all unnecessary documents by shredding them. For more tips, call the National Foundation for Credit Counseling today at 800-388-2227 or visit them at nfcc.org, a public service from the NFCC.
In celebration of Black History Month 2010, Jazz 90.1 proudly salutes African-American jazz musicians. Throughout the month of February, we will present biographical vignettes of great jazz and blues artists like Sarah Vaughan, Ron Carter, Houston Person, Roy Eldridge, and Mary Lou Williams. Be listening each weekday at 7:40 a.m., 12:40, 4:40, and 8:40 p.m. when Jazz 90.1 will honor a different African-American jazz musician. For a complete listing of all featured artists this month, visit jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Rick Harrison.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Yes, we have no Steve Ray today. He's apparently sunning himself on his back deck.
Or was there another, what is, Star Trek convention?
No, he's not at a Star Trek convention. He's actually working. He's actually working.
So he says, but.
Right, so he says. We don't have the, normally he's got the little camera where you can see what's going on at the store. We can't see that right now, so we don't know if he's working or not working. All right, our next caller is George. Where are you calling from, George?
Auburn, New York.
Auburn, New York. And what can we do for you?
Well, I've got a real old computer. It's about 10 years old, and I want to use Ubuntu. I loaded 9.1, and everything works fine, except when I try to improve the video resolution, and the best that my default driver will give me is, 800 by 600?
Right.
At the very least, 1024 by 768.
Did you have that before?
1024 by 768?
Yeah.
Yeah, with Windows.
All right, and do you know what video card is in that machine?
Well, it's not a card. It's the default driver on the
on the motherboard?
NVIDIA on the motherboard, yeah.
Okay, to use the NVIDIA correctly, there is a proprietary driver. See, here's the deal with Ubuntu and many other versions of Linux. Linux was originally designed to use all free stuff. Free as in beer, and which means it doesn't cost anything, and free as in speech, which means it's unencumbered by any sort of legal encumbrance of some sort, whether
okay.
It's a patent or a copyright or whatever, right?
Right.
However, there are some drivers that are given to the free community, to the Linux community, but still are copyrighted. And in order to keep Windows pure, you get to choose whether or not you use those in a thing like Ubuntu. You probably have somewhere on your top bar an odd-looking little thing, and if you roll over it, it says, proprietary drivers are available. Somewhere on the top bar.
Okay, I'm not running it right now.
Right. So I'm just saying, you should find, as you roll your cursor over it, you see the little yellow thing. All right. And it'll say something along the lines of proprietary drivers are available. I don't remember the exact name. But what you do is you click on that, and it'll say, there's an NVIDIA driver that you could use here if you'd like to. And you say, yes, enable that.
I've done that, and the driver is for a higher-end video card or video in my case, it's on the motherboard. It's a higher-end component, and it just crashes the computer.
Oh.
So, I've gone out looking for them, and I have installed. I forced it one time. I finally figured out how to get it to install.
Yeah.
Crash the computer.
Yeah.
So, at this point, I went ahead and put a video card on. And it didn't give me any advantage. So I was just wondering if it was an easier way to get a better display. Probably not, huh?
Well, yeah, you can try installing an older version of the NVIDIA driver. And that's probably going to need to be done from the command line.
Okay.
And what you do is...
but I have to find one that would, and just it'd be just the trial and error.
Well, maybe, but what you can do is at a command line, you can type apt-cache, C-A-C-H-E, apt-cache.
Apt-cache,
apt-cache, space, search, space, NVIDIA.
Okay, NVIDIA.
Right. And so, that'll show you all of the things in that are available for you to download for free that have to do with NVIDIA.
Okay.
And one of the things you will likely see is NVIDIA-173-kernel-source and NVIDIA-GLX-173. I would suggest you pull that 173 down.
Okay.
And if it requires anything else, it'll add that into the list of things to pull down. So I would suggest you try the 173. I'm running, actually, I'm running 904 right now, but I would try that 173. Maybe try that one.
Okay.
And what's likely happening is you need an older version of the drivers. You have an older
version of the card. The drivers that they offer have 3D capabilities.
Right.
And mine doesn't even come close to that.
Right. So it's not unlikely that the driver is there. You just have to install it by hand.
One other question, if I can.
Sure.
QuickTime. In Windows, I'm running Firefox. And when I, if I want to, well, like if I was downloading your MP3 file, if I click on it, QuickTime takes over and runs it.
Right.
And I can't use, when Firefox or when QuickTime is installed, I can't use Firefox to download videos. I have to go to Internet Explorer. Is there a way to turn off QuickTime as to have the way it just takes over the machine, or do you just have to work around it?
Well, the easiest thing to do in this particular case is when you go to click on something to download it.
Yeah.
Right click on it.
If you do it, it doesn't it downloads the HTML file. It doesn't just the picture of the.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. I see what you're saying.
Right-click and we'll work with Internet Explorer. What about Chrome? Will it work with Chrome?
I can only suggest. I mean, I don't know what your problem is specifically with your machine, so I would say give it a try.
Okay. Yeah, because it works with Internet Explorer. I just don't like to use it because then I wind up having to load Internet Explorer as a.
You shouldn't be using Internet Explorer anyway.
Yeah,
right.
We call it Internet Exploder.
Sometimes you're forced to.
Yeah.
Well, you can change the default action in Firefox.
I tried. I tried to find something in QuickTime that would stop, but default action in Firefox.
Right. You can. You should be able to change the default action in Firefox.
Under Tools.
Oh, dear.
What is it? Yeah. Certain programs that he's clicking on and it wants to use a particular program?
Well, it wants to, like, QuickTime. Only QuickTime.
What you can do is find one of those files. You're right. You can go under folder preference for that type of file style or file type and change the program that it uses.
Well, but he's specifically trying to download it from Firefox, and Firefox insists on playing it. So what you do you go into Options.
Okay.
Right. Select the content section. Depending on what version you have of Firefox, it might look like a little Earth. Select content.
Yep.
And then toward the bottom, you'll see file types. Configure how Firefox handles certain types of files. Click the Manage button. Right. And then you have a whole list of things. You find QuickTime, and when you go to change the action. You have a choice of open them with a default application, open them with another application, save them on my computer, or use a specific plugin.
I don't see file types underneath. I'm running the most current version of Firefox. Is it 3.5? Is it 3. Something? Under content, I'm looking and I don't see. Did you say file types?
Underneath fonts and colors, there's not another section for file types.
It says languages.
Yeah, heck, it's somewhere else then. But that's what you have. I'm sorry, and I apologize. I'm not running the latest version myself. But you're going to have to find that it's somewhere in there.
Okay.
And you look for file types, and you manage the file types, and that will make it work for you.
I'll give it a try.
Okay.
Thanks. I appreciate the help.
Sure. I'm sorry. I'm not running that particular latest version yet. So.
Now he said his machine was 10 years old.
Yep, God love him.
So it's like a dinosaur three times over.
Yes. Yeah. And in computer years, that is dinosaurs.
Yes.
Yeah.
And when you get to that point, sometimes you can spend more time trying to fix those little old problems. You can spend hundreds of dollars and many, many hours. It can make more sense to just, like, go to eBay and get something that's maybe 4 years old, you know? That's an upgrade for you. It'd be a cheap upgrade, too.
Yep. I don't disagree. I can't entirely disagree. All right, our next caller is Mike. Where are you calling from, Mike?
I'm calling from Irondequoit.
Irondequoit. And what can we do for you today?
Well, I've got a really great computer. However, it's a Mac. I love it because it can never crash.
Rarely do you hear someone say, I have a great computer, however, it's a Mac.
The problem is I like gaming too. And, you know, my Mac is like, I would imagine it would be fantastic for gaming. However, there's very little out there for the Mac as far as gaming is concerned. What do I have to do? I know that there's a program called Boot Camp. And if I do install the Boot Camp system, which works a Windows profile, is it dangerous to do so, or is it a good thing to do, or will it bring me up to speed on gaming?
Well, first of all, what games do you want to play?
Well, you know, things like, you know, shoot 'em up, bang 'em up, you know, games like that, a Deer Hunter, simple games even like chess. Card games and things of that nature. I can't seem to find them or get them with the Mac.
Well, there are a lot of games out there for the Mac. You just need to know where to look for them. There's plenty of first-person shooters, and there's plenty of other things, you know, like World of Warcraft.
Yes, yeah, say WoW. Call of Duty.
Yeah, Call of Duty.
There's one in particular that I did look for some time. I wasn't able to find it, and that was... It's a dyno simulator for building high-performance engines.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not there. And that's one of the predominant games that are things that I do want to do.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, if you definitely, you know, want to go into that Windows world and be able to play all the Windows games, you can certainly, you know, get Boot Camp, maybe get Parallels so that you can run... You know, your Mac side of the operating system alongside the Windows side of the operating system. Same time, you can share information between them.
Is that cool, or will I wind up with trouble?
Well, whenever you're going to move over to a Windows platform, you're going to have to watch out for those viruses. Make sure you have all your virus, you know, protection, antivirus stuff on. You're going to have to check for your spyware. You're going to have to do the security tango.
Right, but the way Boot Camp works is that you reboot into Windows, and the Mac is no longer running.
Oh.
And they're kept on two separate partitions on the hard drive, so if you screw up one, you can't screw up the other, unless you screw up insanely badly and actually kill the entire hard drive.
Oh, I see. So, in other words, if I am working a Windows program, then the best thing to do would be to stay offline. Or would it matter even?
No, it's not a bad idea to do that, but you can run an ad. You have the same problems that every Windows person has. You should be running a good antivirus program like Avast or whatever. You should be running a good anti-spyware. You should be running, you know, maybe super anti-spyware and malware bytes and things like that. And as long as you're very careful where you go and what you do and who you talk to and, you know, what you click on, you're as safe as anybody else in Windows.
Yeah, and I mean, you might also want to get involved with, you know, some of those third party, you know, where you actually get involved in, like, wow, you can get into battles and everything else online. And, you know, you might want to take part in that. But like Nick says, you got to do some due diligence and keep some of the stuff out there.
Okay. And one thing you might want to do is check out two websites.
All right. Got a pen right here.
Apple.com/games and MacGames.com.
All right.
And, you know, obviously Apple will tell you about all the games that are available for the platform, including a bunch of stuff, you know, Dragon's Age and Diablo and
all of them.
The big things there. And then Mac Games has it's part of CNET, so you know it's a pretty cool thing. And they have it broken down into action and games, adventure games, board games, cards and lottery, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you should be able to find whatever you need.
Well, the one thing, though, in defense of the Windows system, I mean, if he's going to just play the games, the chances of him catching any other viruses or that type of stuff is actually going to be nil. Because if he's strictly using it for games, he's not downloading any emails. He's not going surfing to other websites.
Except that if he is running a game that connects to the internet for any reason to upload scores or let you play multi-user games, you've now opened a connection to the internet. So it's not 100%, but you're a lot safer.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit, you know, because, again, he's using the emails and any other worse web setting, you know, web surfing is going to be done through the Mac.
Well, my thought is that, I mean, because I know that there's a lot of pathways in, but my concern is if I do install Bootcamp, say, so I can run Windows games, and I just don't connect with the internet, can something still get in?
Only if it was shipped with the game
that
you installed.
It's unlikely, but it's highly certainly unlikely. We'll never say impossible, but it's highly unlikely.
You know, there's also chess on your Macintosh right now. It came with your system.
Right, and we got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes on Sound Bites on Member Supported, Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on Member Supported Jazz 90.1.
America's longest running computer show, Sound Bites, the answer to your computer questions on Member Supported Jazz 90.1.
This is your Consumer Electronics Minute. If you have one or more old electronic devices and want to dispose of them, first ask yourself, can any of my old electronics be reused or sold? Or if broken, can they be repaired? If the answers are no, then recycling your used electronics when you upgrade to the latest device is your best bet. The Consumer Electronics Association has a special website to locate a recycling facility near you. It's mygreenelectronics.org. Just enter your zip code and indicate the preferred distance to a recycling facility from your area. The result will be a map pinpointing the location of any recyclers along with their addresses and phone numbers. Print it out and you're ready to recycle. That web address again is mygreenelectronics.org. Your Consumer Electronics Minute is a public service by this station and the Consumer Electronics Association, CEA.
Hi, this is Phil Dodd. Please join me weekdays from noon to 3 on Member Supported, Jazz 90.1.
Support for Jazz 90.1 is provided by our members and the Hilton Central School District's Jazz Department and Music Boosters, presenting the 7th Annual Hilton Evening of Jazz, Friday, February 5th, 7 p.m. at the Merton Williams Middle School. Performers include the Merton Williams Middle School Jazz Ensemble, the Spencerport High School Jazz Band, the Hilton High School Jazz Ensemble, and 5-time Grammy-winning jazz trumpeter, Mr. Randy Brecker. To purchase tickets, you may call 392-1000, extension 2293. That's 392-1000, extension 2293.
If you own or run a business, consider promoting your business on Jazz 90.1 through underwriting. When you underwrite the programming on Jazz 90.1, you join with our members in supporting great jazz radio. With a few tasteful statements about your business, thousands of Jazz 90.1 listeners will know who you are, how to reach you, and that you care about great jazz programming. Underwriting is easy and very reasonable. It's good business to do business with Jazz 90.1. For more information on our great underwriting packages, please contact Station Manager Rob Linton at 585-966-2660. That's 966-2660 or email sales@jazz901.org.
Jazz 90.1 is supported by our members and Exodus to Jazz Productions. Presenting Monk the Play, Friday and Saturday, January 29th and 30th, 8 p.m. at the Downtown Radisson Hotel. Tickets are available at all Wegman service centers. For more information, you may visit ExodusToJazz.com.
Hey, this is Rip Savage. Join me tonight for Fusion, 10 p.m. right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
All right, we're back at 23 minutes after the hour. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Rick Harrison.
And it is, we are, this is Soundbites. Before we go back to any sort of phone calls, I want to talk about, hey, here's a surprise, Apple's iPad tablet.
Oh!
Unbelievable, isn't it? It could be an attractive business
tool. Be still my heart.
Well, here's one of the other reasons I'm not a fan. It lacks security and manageability features that enterprises need. Apple's new iPad is a handheld device. Obviously, I'm not even going to bother to read that. Why did I even write it? prices start at $499, yada, yada, yada. The problem is it could create a new set of challenges for IT departments. Apple offers a customized version of the iWork suite for the iPad, which includes word processing, spreadsheet, and presentation programs priced at $10 a piece. The iPad also includes a Safari browser, which can be an effective client for web-based applications. However, the device has limited manageability and security features, which could be a concern for enterprises looking to manage the device remotely. For example, if the device gets stolen, there's no way for IT administrators to deploy a push policy that locks it. This feature is available on the iPhone, and it could be implemented in the iPad over time if enterprise use of the product grows. But it's not there now. It also lacks support for features like VPN, virtual private networks, or push email. Because the iPad doesn't support Microsoft Exchange, it may be difficult for IT administrators to manage email on the devices. But third-party vendors like Sybase, MobileIron may deliver enterprise applications for the product, which could oblige Apple to step up its focus on security and enterprise readiness of the device. Software for the iPad can, of course, be downloaded through the App Store, but that doesn't provide for applications to be deployed in a uniform way across an enterprise. This could result in different versions of software being deployed across different devices. We have that problem in my place. We want all of the laptops to be identical. It makes our support and service much easier so that we can support more people with fewer people. But if everybody can have something different on the device, we can't do any remote diagnostic of this thing because mm-hmm. it's not designed for that, and yet we need that. And secondly, we worry about all the student's private information. If you want to put your credit card numbers on your iPad and it gets stolen, I don't really care. That was your choice. But if you've got student data, now I care.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't let you use it unless I can remotely kill it or it gets, and it can be encrypted and a whole bunch of other things. So this, you know, nobody really does that stuff on an iPhone. Because there's no Excel spreadsheet. There's no spreadsheet of any sort. There's no word processor of any sort. But if this thing comes with all those things, I can't allow it in my enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it. So it's a real problem. So what else is the iPad missing for enterprise use? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, 966-5299, or toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
Well, one of my big questions was last night there when we were in Second Life is, once these do come out, I wonder what the incident reports are going to be that folks were using it and then all of a sudden dropped it because of the, you know, trying to type, say, one-handed while holding it or, you know, nestling it in somewhere and trying to do the typing and, oops, it slips and you're replacing screens or whatever. Be interesting to see the statistics on that.
Well, and equally importantly, one of the problems that they had with the MacBook Air was that it gets so stinking hot.
Well, it's too thin.
Well, and so is this thing. This thing is half an inch thick.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see if, in fact, it gets so hot you can't keep it on your lap.
It's going to be very interesting to see because the thing is...
Burnt laps.
It's got a 10-hour battery in there.
Yeah.
And it had better dissipate that heat well and uniformly, because if it doesn't, yeah, you're right, it's going to get hot in your hand.
I'm sure they've taken all of that into consideration. Well, I would have said they took all that into consideration in the MacBook Air, too, and they didn't. So
yep.
I don't know, but we'll see. I guess we'll see.
Time will tell.
You know, it's all speculation right now.
And in terms of the security aspect of it, you know, you'd say, you know what, for the first year, because the device is so new, nobody knows how that's going to work, use your MacBook or your MacBook Pro, right? That's got all the security you need.
All right, kiddies, it's that time once again. Go get your footy jammies on, grab a mug of hot cocoa, sit Indian style in a semicircle around the rocking chair, because if we can slap him awake, it's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave?
Uncle Dave? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been one of those weeks, but you know what? Hey, Lucky Louie, you know what? Every so often, you got to turn around and cut loose with that buffalo off the nickel. You know, I know you're trying to squeeze them off there and get every darn little penny out of that system you can do. I understand it. But once in a while, you know, that Windows 98 machine that is now 16 years old, you just have to bury it. I literally had a customer come in. And this 16-year-old machine, I mean, the motherboard, it was sad. I mean, the fans, you know, we've cleaned those out and everything else. But there were some capacitors on it. And just for you folks that don't know about this, is on the side of the board, there's these little, they look like little cylinders. They're maybe about half an inch around and maybe an inch tall. And on the top of them, you can see they either have like a starburst or a K. And what it is designed, once they get heated, they will burst open and pop. And then they drip acids and all that stuff on the bottom of the board. Well, this gentleman had six of them literally burst. And he goes, well, can't you just re-solder new ones on there? I go, no! Well, what kind of repair shop are you? You can't replace stuff, you know? You're supposed to be able to fix this stuff. I says, within reason. Hello, 16 years old. The thing doesn't owe you a penny. You know, it's time to get away from 98. Because he was also complaining a bit. Yeah, and I keep getting, you know, a lot of stuff on my machine. Yeah, because there's no security for it. Hello? You know, it's long past. Oh, well, I'll just go see if I can get this repaired somewhere else. Go for it. And he was back a few days later. Could you do me up a quote for a system? Okay. You know, enough is enough. I built him this machine, like I say, 16 years ago, and it's lasted him this long. Evidently, you know, I try to say to folks, you know, I love using quality parts. I won't compromise on it. And that's the way it is. But I'm not going to sit there and try to repair something that I sold you 16 years ago and expect it to work, even if I replace the capacitor. He goes, you know, because if you can replace them, then what kind of warranty? I go, none. None. Because I can't even guarantee if I could find the capacitors, resoldering them on, yes, we could do something like that, but it's dripped on the motherboard. That's acid. It eats away at the copper that's on those boards.
And isn't that going to take you so long it would be cheaper to buy a new machine? Listen, you got to give me, off the air, you got to give me this guy's name because I want to know where he gets his head gaskets for a Model T Ford.
I tell you, you know, I mean, that's what I love about my business, you know?
Yep.
It's a challenge, and, you know, it's... one of those things you just deal with. And I love my customers. Don't get me wrong, folks. Whenever I do these rants, I never mention any names in that. But it's just to enlighten you, you know, because, excuse me, even as a consumer myself, you know, I'm on this side of it. So when I go to work, you know, and I deal with other folks, you know, and I'm a customer, I know what it's like. So I have a different appreciation for folks and what they're doing. Because, you know, they'll be, oh, I'm sorry it's taking so long. Don't worry about it. you know, I'm cool. You know, I ain't going anywhere. You know, no problem. I know sometimes you can have an SOB day and, you know, it's like, no problem. But, you know, when these folks come in and, like you say, I can appreciate, you know, it's money. And we're not all Bill Gates, you know, and just dripping out of our pockets. But at some point, enough is enough. And you got to literally, you know, buy it. I'm not saying you got to go for a Cadillac.
Right.
By all means, you can get a decent system at a fair price, and it's going to do you another 10 years. And, you know, and get you up to, say, Windows 7. Right now, yes, back when Vista came out, I can honestly say I never sold one copy of Vista. I refused. It was just an operating system that, you know, it was fine for some folks. And there's some folks out there that'll say, oh, mine's working great. Yes. But when you start getting them into, like, some of my clients with work environment or trying to get them to work with various printers, there's not drivers out there. So whereas now with Windows 7, we're seeing less and less of that being an issue, that they will work with the older printers and that type of stuff. It's not an issue, and, you know, they're supporting it because they made some backwards compatibility back into Windows 7, and that was the key where it was missing in Vista. He was trying to make you literally cut your purse strings from all your old equipment and force you to buy new. Well, it's not going to happen, especially in this economy right now. You know, folks, I got to admit, you know, over the Christmas season, I saw a lot more repairs come in than buying new because we're in a recession. Hello, folks are trying to make what they got last, and I appreciate that. I'm in the same boat. You know, I'd love to get a new i7 chip and everything else, but that ain't going to happen. You just got to deal with what you got and go with it. So, you know, there's both sides of the fence, and I appreciate both. And I love my customers, you know, for the stories that I can bring to the rest of you folks.
Yep.
It's all in light humor, so, you know, because a couple of folks say, am I going to be a rant? I said, well, you could be.
You never know.
I never mention any names, and, you know, it's all good fun. You know, and just letting folks know on that.
All right, that's it, kids. We're going to give Uncle Dave a shot, put him back on the shelf for another week, put your empty hot cocoa mugs in the sink, get out of your footy jammies. Until next week, when we bring you another episode of Story Hour with Uncle Dave.
Thank you, Uncle Dave.
Yeah, I do.
Thank you.
Yeah, I kind of missed it last week while we were so busy with other stuff.
Busy.
You know, it just gets that way because, you know, I've had some other folks say, did I miss the rant last week? You know, I listened to the podcast and, no, sometimes it just the way, you know, if we got a lot of calls and all that other stuff, if other stuff's going on, it just happens.
That's exactly
That's
right.
Why you got to listen every week.
If you did it every week, it wouldn't be as exciting as when it just appears.
Yes, true. Very good.
All right. I have another news item here. I'm not going to talk about the iPad. I'm going to talk about the iPhone. Actually, application security, so I guess it is about the iPad, too. A software engineer is highlighting the challenges facing mobile application stores in an upcoming presentation at Black Hat DC. In his presentation February 3rd, software engineer Nicholas Serio, or Seriot, I don't know how he pronounces that, will focus on applications for the Apple iPhone and how Apple's guarantees of privacy in applications can fall short at the App Store's virtual door. In late 2009, I was involved in discussions with the Swiss private banking industry regarding the confidentiality of iPhone personal data, Serio said. Bankers wanted to know how safe their information stores were, which ones were exactly at risk and which ones are not. In brief, I showed that an application downloaded from the App Store to a standard iPhone could technically harvest a significant quantity of personal data, including the full name, the email addresses, the phone numbers, the keyboard cache entries, the Wi-Fi connection logs, and the most recent GPS location. Serio said he wrote a proof-of-concept application and published it under an open-source license to illustrate the situation. Several other applications, such as Aurora Faint and Mogul Road, have been pulled from the App Store for privacy violations. The news here is that it is not public knowledge that so many personal data were at risk, even on non-jailbroken iPhones, Serio said. With 10,000 applications submitted every day, including updates, and in a $1 application market, you must assume that there is more malware in the App Store, especially if the malware author bothered to use some basic programming tricks to fool Apple Store reviewers. Apple declined to comment on security issues involving the App Store, but does make information for developers available on its website. The prospect of rogue applications is yet not unique to Apple, however. For example, Google removed several suspicious mobile banking applications from the Android market. following warnings from financial institutions. More rogue applications for mobile devices will likely appear. Serio said Apple should stop claiming the iPhone applications cannot access data stored by other applications. This is wrong and dangerous, he said. So our question to you, do you worry that your smartphone apps might know too much about you? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. What do you think, Rick?
I always buy free apps.
There you go. So you know they're not...
That's right. I'm not using my Visa card at all.
Well, there's that. But do you have any of that information on your machine, on your iPod, your iPhone, your whatever you got?
Well, some of it. You know, it depends how much you sync, really. And if somebody gets physical access to your iPhone, you know, unless you've password protected it or
which
something,
I do.
You know.
Well, see, with my iPhone, and this is something that that apparently I won't be able to do with the iPad, I can connect to my Exchange Mail server at work.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I password protected, so you can't see any of the email I'm getting or my calendar or any of that sort of thing.
Oh, that's good. That's what you should do.
Absolutely. It means I now have to, you know, put in my password. Oh, gee, that's so hard.
Being a concerned citizen.
Yeah, exactly. I like that idea. And I don't know if any, you know, nobody knows yet if that stuff will be on the iPad. But there are certain, there's no control for the enterprise administrator.
Mm-hmm.
On any of these devices, and that makes them dangerous.
Yes, absolutely.
You know,
and as an administrator, you've got to be concerned with that, and you may have to set up your rules that say, no, we can't have this, we can't have that, until Apple has proved, or whatever company it is, that this device is now secure.
Right. All right, we are going to take a quick break. But as you know, we will be back in just a couple of minutes, and this time, I mean it. We'll be back with Dave Enright, Rick Harrison, who's sitting in for Steve Ray, who's sunning himself on a beach in Irondequoit, and me, Nick Francesco. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Soundbites, celebrating 20 years.
Hi, I'm Phil Dodd, and I think you'll like the mix of music I play every weekday afternoon. I play today's best artists as well as the classic performers who made jazz America's own special art form. I also feature the standards, songs that have stood the test of time and are constantly being reinvented by jazz musicians. So please join me, Phil Dodd, noon to 3, Monday through Friday, right here on Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by Greece Athena High School's Music and Drama Department, presenting Guys and Dolls, January 29th, 30th, and February 5th and 6th at 8 p.m., and January 31st at 2 p.m. at the Athena Performing Arts Center in Greece. Guys and Dolls follows the comic exploits of gambler Nathan Detroit, his long-suffering fiancée Miss Adelaide, and Nathan's famous floating craps game. Tickets are available at Area Wegmans and at the door.
People are keeping their teeth longer than ever before. That means everyone, including senior citizens, need to practice good oral hygiene for their teeth and their health. Seniors need to be aware of signs of periodontal disease, like receding or swollen gums. During dental checkups, your dentist will check for any signs of oral cancer, such as discoloration or swelling on your throat, lips, or tongue. Early detection of cancer can mean a much better chance for a full recovery. Eat a balanced diet. Brush twice daily with a fluoride toothpaste and floss or use an interdental cleaner daily. Consider quitting the use of tobacco. Tobacco usage is associated with an increased risk of oral cancer, periodontal disease, and other oral health conditions. Regular dental maintenance can help keep you and your smile healthy and young-looking. For the ADA Dental Minute, I'm Dr. Maria Lopez-Howell. For more information, visit our website at ada.org.
Hi, this is Jeff Harris. Join me every Sunday night from 5 to 7 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 is supported by our members and Exodus to Jazz Productions. Presenting Monk the Play, Friday and Saturday, January 29th and 30th, 8 p.m. at the Downtown Radisson Hotel. Tickets are available at all Wegman service centers. For more information, you may visit exodustojazz.com.
Greetings, this is Mike Kincaid. Please join me for Foreground Music, Sundays 3 to 5 p.m. on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Rick Harrison.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And our next caller is Matt. Where are you calling from, Matt?
Hey, Nick, how you doing? I'm calling from Penfield.
Excellent. What can we do for you?
I got a quick question about Google Chrome. I'm a big fan of it, but it's always hard to save stuff. I want to know the easiest way to save something to your desktop, because I always find myself trying to save things and then having to transfer them and stuff.
What kind of things?
Like files. When you download something, it doesn't come up like an Internet Explorer as run, save, or cancel, you know. It just shows up in the bottom of the screen.
Oh, right. And what happens is you get to pick where you're going to save it. Under if you click on the little wrench,
okay,
that's the tools, and one of those tools is options.
Okay.
And under options, one of the things that you can change on the under the hood tab, scroll down about just past halfway, and for downloads.
Oh, yes, I see it. I see. Okay.
There you go. You either pick a location or say every time, ask me where to save every file mm-hmm. before downloading it. And there you go.
Now, is there any way also to make it come up like run, save, or cancel, like in the Internet Explorer format by any chance?
No.
Okay.
That's actually a good thing. Right? Everything you download, you want to make sure it gets checked for viruses before you run it.
Okay.
You really don't want to magically run things from the Internet.
Exactly.
That's a bad idea.
Understood.
And as long as you're in that tab, change the cookies thing from allow all cookies to accept cookies only from the sites I visit.
Okay, got it.
All right.
All right, thank you so much.
Thanks. Yeah, it is a new operating system, rather a new browser, and therefore you have to spend a little time getting to learn it. People forget. It's like I've always said, you know, you forget how hard it is to learn to drive mm-hmm. because you've been driving for so long. So when you open up a new browser, it still does all the same things you did. It still has all the same features you want. You just have to learn where they are now.
Did you see the new Thunderbird 3.0?
I have not played with it yet.
It's pretty slick.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got it on the new Soundbite CD.
Good.
We've loaded that on there. I'm kind of liking it, the look of it. You know, it's a little different, but yeah, I'm liking it. And like you, I've been also playing with Chrome a little bit more.
Yeah, I like Chrome. I'm the problem is I don't know what I did, if it was me or if it was an update or whatever, but Firefox got really, really slow. I mean really slow. And so I just got annoyed one day and I thought, let's play with Chrome, see what the deal is.
So do you trust Google with all of your data?
Well, Google already has all of your data. I can't deny that Google already owns everything. I, for one, bow down to my new googly overlords because they already own all of our data.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, give it up.
Yeah, get over it. You know, as long as
get
it's
over it.
Certain stuff, you know, yep, you can yep. control.
All right, our next caller is, I believe, Bear.
Yep, that's
where you are you calling from, Bear?
Pittsburgh.
The woods in Pittsburgh? Oh.
Yeah, what? In Pittsburgh.
What? What can we do for you, Bear?
Did you say what's in Pittsburgh?
No, the woods in Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah, the woods in Pittsburgh. Well, that's the bear like the bear in the woods.
Exactly. We
yeah.
know what a bear does in the woods.
Yeah.
What can we do for you?
I'm getting ready to move on to a Windows 7 operating system, and I have an awful lot of applications that I've been using in XP.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the machines, if not all the machines that I see, are 64-bit. My specific question is, will I have any problems if I purchase a 64-bit Windows system with the applications I'm currently running in XP, other than the application wouldn't just transfer over? Is the 64-bit problematic?
Yes.
Yeah.
And here's why. Whenever you move from 64 bits to 32 bits, the CPU itself has to do an entire state change. It changes from a 64-bit processor to a 32-bit processor. And because of that, you find that the system runs slower than it could. If you have all 64-bit or all 32-bit, the system is actually going to be a little faster. And depending on how often you switch and how many 32-bit applications, it could be significantly faster.
You might want to just go with a 32-bit system.
So if you go with a 32-bit system, but now then you run into the question of, what about future applications that only come out in 64-bit? I think that's going to be a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not so much worried about that. So you've answered my question very well. So I want to find a 32-bit system.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at any of the advertisements that are in the newspaper and things, all of them say 64-bit for whatever reason.
Well, and that's because if you have more than 3 gig in the machine, then you're going to need a 64-bit version of the operating system. So the 4 gig machines really want the 64-bit. But if you go to somebody like Dave and ask him to build you a machine, you can specify 32-bit, and he'll know that means 3 gig of RAM is the max.
How about in a laptop?
Can
Dave do a laptop in 32-bit?
Sure can.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, that's my answer.
There's your answer.
So what you're saying then is my applications would run on a 64-bit machine, but
maybe.
I'd not be happy with the speed.
No, it may be.
Well, you'll be happy with the speed because the new machines are so much faster than the older machines.
Yeah, I mean running the... But 32-bit.
Right, you won't be running them as fast as they could. It's not optimum.
Okay.
Let's just put it that way.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Certainly doable. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, it's again one of those things that it's going to depend. You know, because I've run into some situations where the software won't run. You know, in 64-bit. Yeah.
Right.
There's going to be some issues. And, you know, granted, he might be able to put it in compatibility mode. There's one option.
Right.
Where you can right-click on, if you have an icon on the desktop for some of you folks, if you're having issues, and I've had a couple of questions come through asking me that if you put stuff on, say, your Windows 7 and it's not quite running correctly, and what you do is you right-click on it and you go to the properties. There is now... another tab there that says compatibility. And you can select whether you're running, say, Windows 98, 95, ME, or Windows XP. And you can select those modes, and sometimes that'll help.
Yeah. One of the things that people are always saying to me is, oh my gosh, your machine is so very fast, my machine at work. And yes, I'm running Linux, so it's a lot faster than Windows. But also, it's all 64-bit. There are no 32-bit anythings in it.
Wow.
So, consequently, I never have a state change, and it never slows the processor down. I fly my 8 gigs of RAM, and everybody's happy. So, it's important to tailor all the pieces to fit together.
Yeah, we got time. I got to go off on another tangent.
Oh, here we are.
Computer retrain. Just like you want your droid. Okay.
I want a droid. Listen. There's got to be somebody listening to this show who has some cloud at Verizon. I'm willing to pay the $200, but I can't get it until like the end of August or something. I want it now. Can't somebody somewhere help me out? Thank you.
Well, I see. You're upset
lost
with
my dignity. Thank you very much.
I think we're going to have to slap him, Uncle Dave.
you're upset
Thanks,
with
him. I enjoyed that.
You're upset with him because you can't get your droid.
Right.
I'm upset with him because I wanted to go get another phone.
And, oh, yeah.
All right.
Here we go.
I do computers for a living. Now, when I get a phone, I've I'll admit, I have graduated. I don't use it just simply for the phone. I have graduated to where I like texting. So they've got a number of the phones out there that I love to be able to either make a phone call or texting. I don't want to surf the GD web or get my mail. I get enough junk mail that I got to sit there and sort through it at home. I don't need it on my GD phone. So don't tell me I got to pay another $10 a month to have the privilege of getting webmail. And I go, but I don't want it. The guy goes, well, it's the way of the future. It's not my future. Right. It ain't happening. Yeah. All I want the stupid phone to do is make phone calls and be able to text once in a while. What's so hard? Well, sorry, all the smartphones now, you got that feature. I'm sorry, it's a 2x2 screen. How the heck am I going to read see on the web? I can see it like on some of these other phones, like the
Droid, which is a or
the
4.5 inch
or the MV. Yeah, they got. But I mean, hello, my little flip phone here with this small little screen. I don't want to be surfing the web. My eyes are bad enough now looking through bifocals. And you're saying, well, sorry, it's a smartphone. You got to do it. And it's $10 more a month. No, thank you.
Right, right. Whereas I can't wait to get my Droid and surf the web day and night, constantly online. I'll never be offline.
Not in my lifetime.
I want my Droid.
Well, what's going to happen when the computer chip that plugs into your brain comes? Are you going to want that?
I'm not first, no. I don't want to be first at that, no.
Okay. No. That'll probably short circuit on me.
No, I don't, no. That's right, that's exactly it. But in
terms
of
my brain.
I'd love to be able to do, you know, that stuff. But I'm not going to leave Verizon because my entire family is on Verizon.
Yeah, same here.
And my extended family. So I'm not going to get an iPhone. And I can't get the Droid because, you know, they have that one every two. And you can buy one phone every 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And my phone, I could spend the $600, but I'd rather not. So now I have to wait until the end of August, I think it was.
End of the contract.
July, end of August.
Yeah, July,
August,
I think.
September, something along
that. But, yeah, it's just, you know,
there's got to be somebody at Verizon with power who listens to this show and can help me out.
You got to talk to Laurel Ann.
I got to talk to Laurel Ann.
She's our girl.
For everybody.
She is our girl.
It's very true. So that's our that's Dave's little rant, and it certainly is my little rant. Now you want to talk about the Apple Cider meeting?
Yes.
30 seconds. Go.
Okay. I'm Rick Harrison. I'm president of the Apple Cider Group this year. On Wednesday, February 10th at 7 p.m. at East High School Forum Room, we're doing the main topic of Apple product announcements like the iPad and Macworld coverage. Also, we've got our short segments on the Airport Express, Rock Wiki, and one quick tip for your Macintosh.
All right. And that's it for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray. No, not Steve Ray. Rick Harrison. I know. I told you I was going to do it at some point. I want to thank everybody who called in. Apologize to everybody we didn't get to. Call earlier and more often next week. I'm Nick Francesco, and for all the great folks here at member-supported Jazz 90.1, thank you so much for listening in, whether you're listening live or on the stream or through the podcast. See you next week on the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.